Welcome to Covenant Presbyterian Church in West Des Moines, Iowa. This sermon is part of our mission to bless our neighbors to the glory of God. We hope it blesses you.
This is Big Fall, the World Series time. So this is actually a story about the World Series, but this is not a picture from the World Series because this is not the sort of play that apparently they take a picture of during the World Series and then put on the internet for you. But I saw it on video, actually both Friday night and Saturday night. But the one starting was Friday night. Okay, so game one of the World Series, and so the player that he was wearing a different uniform Friday night, but the player at bat there is Geraldo Perdomo.
He bats ninth for the Arizona Diamondbacks. Typically the weakest batting position on a baseball lineup, and here he is, his first pitch in the World Series, the first pitch he sees in the World Series, and he does this, which is a sacrifice bunt. And so he squares up, he just taps the ball, goes right down the first baseline, he gets out, and that was the plan. Because then he moves the next two runners forward. He did the same thing last night to even greater effect. And I was just so impressed because he was so happy that he had done exactly what he needed to do in that instant. And he knew that he was playing not for himself to get a picture of him taken. I had to go find a different game to find a picture of him doing this. But he was playing for not himself, but for his team. And that's not how you would picture your very first pitch that's thrown to you in the World Series. You've been dreaming of this moment your entire life growing up as a baseball player. But he knows, and I can see just from the way he plays, I can see that he knows that the whole team is going to win or lose, not necessarily in that order. And he knows that no player on that field is ever actually alone, which I just think is a very, very cool thing. Today's scripture reading that Anne's going to read for us is kind of about this question of what it means when we think that we're doing something entirely alone, but we're not actually entirely alone. Okay?
Let us pray. Speak to us, living God, just as you have spoken to our ancestors, through the voices of your prophets, the breath of your spirit, and the life of your Son, so that we may live according to your word, through Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen. Today's scripture reading is from 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 1 through 9a, which can be found on page 404 in the Old Testament in your pew Bible or on the screens. Let's read this together today. Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done and how he had killed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, "So may the gods do to me and more also if I do not make your life like the life of one of them by this time tomorrow." Then he was afraid. He got up and fled for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah. He left his servant there, but he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a solitary broom tree. He asked that he might die. "It is enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am no better than my ancestors." Then he lay down under the broom tree and fell asleep. Suddenly an angel touched him and said to him, "Get up and eat." He looked, and there at his head was a water. He ate and drank and lay down again. The angel of the Lord came a second time, touched him, and said, "Get up and eat, otherwise the journey will be too much for you." He got up and ate and drank. Then he went in the strength of that food 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the Mount of God. At that place he came to a cave and spent the night there. The word of the Lord.
Something God alone can see. That song actually debuted just after the composer's husband died of cancer. A loss like that forces a question for a lot of us, forces the question of whether we actually trust in any of that stuff, whether we trust something beyond ourselves. And I've known different people who have landed in different places with that question after a loss like that. That's a question that we might face as individuals, the question of, if I let go, what's going to happen? If I let go, does it all come tumbling down? If I let go, do I come tumbling down? I see individuals face that question. Sometimes I see groups of people. Sometimes I see entire generations that seem to be facing that question. If we let go, what happens? And I also see churches wrestle with it, incidentally. If we stop doing the thing that we were always doing, if we don't somehow manage to reproduce 1954 in our programs and our attendance and our beliefs, will the whole thing come tumbling down? The question really is, where are we trusting? Where are we putting our trust? Are we trusting in ourselves and what we can accomplish and what we can do? Or are we trusting in God, the one who puts that promise inside of every moment that seems like there is no promise? It can be especially hard for us to grapple with that question, I think, when the thing that we've been doing is a thing that we've been doing for God, when we have been trying so hard to serve God in a particular way. We can be really tempted, especially in that instance, by this narrative that somehow only we can do the thing that God has called us to do, that we have found religious value in doing. We can be more susceptible still if the work we've been doing calls for, like, our particular unique skills. There's this sense of responsibility on the one hand that we are the one who can do this, that kind of turns into a sense of pride, on the other hand, that we are the one who can do this. And then you combine that with a culture that so strongly prizes these stories about individual resilience, individual heroism, a culture that has a tendency to then deny those heroes the kind of community support that they really need, that then leads to burnout and worse. And you know, we've seen whole churches, whole communities, whole generations maybe even burn out from trying to focus on what they do more than they focus on what God is doing through and around them. That's where Elijah is in this story that we just read together. I think it is so great when Covenant reads scripture together. We're like a walking illustration of the thing I'm trying to talk to us about today. Elijah has just experienced something really amazing. God has done more through Elijah than Elijah could possibly have done on his own. We had that amazing story last week of this showdown between Elijah and the prophets of Baal, which is really not a showdown between any human beings at all. It's a showdown between God, God's own self, and this fake God that the people have been putting their trust in otherwise. And then We did let you stop before the verse right after that, right? Yeah, okay, good. So we let Roberta stop before she had to talk about the verse that you all referenced right at the beginning of the reading today, which is that Elijah then kills 450 prophets of Baal with a sword. Just one sword, one guy, one prophet, 450 of them, but they were so in shock at what their God couldn't do that Elijah gets away with it, except he doesn't, right? Because then the king goes and tells the queen what has just happened, and she is ticked, right? Like, she's really unreasonable here about this. Well, Elijah then is on the run from this death-dealing power of Israel's king and queen, and God provides Elijah with this quiet support along the way. Elijah goes into the wilderness and lays down, hoping he might die, and God wakes him up and says, you know, have a little bread, have a little water, go back to sleep. We'll feed you and water you again one more time, and then you're going to go on a little journey with us. And that's what happens next. Elijah comes to the mountain where God gave the Ten Commandments to Moses, and he is looking for, we're not entirely sure what. But he's going to find we're not entirely sure what in this scripture lesson. Mason, may I have the scripture lesson? We pick up right before we left off with verse 9. At that place, Elijah came to a cave and spent the night there. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, what are you doing here, Elijah? He answered, I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they are seeking my life to take it away. He said, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Now there was a great wind so strong that it was splitting mountains and breaking rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a sound of sheer silence. When Elijah heard the silence, he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. And then there came a voice to him that said, what are you doing here, Elijah? He answered, I have been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, for the Israelites have forsaken your covenant, thrown down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they are seeking my life to take it away. Then the Lord said to him, go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. When you arrive, you shall anoint Hazael as king over Aram. Also you shall anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, as king over Israel, and you shall anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat of Abel-Mehalah, as prophet in your place. Whoever escapes from the sword of Hazael, Jehu shall kill, and whoever escapes from the sword of Jehu, Elisha shall kill. And yet, I will leave 7,000 in Israel, all the knees that have not bowed to Baal, and every mouth that has not kissed him. This too is the word of the Lord. I alone am left. And 7,000 people I'm not even looking at or thinking about, God points out. It's ironic, right? Elijah goes, complains about how people are putting prophets to death with the sword, and Elijah alone is left, and there's 7,000 of them, and let's not even forget about who did the sword thing last week. But there was a wind, and there was an earthquake, and there was a fire, and God was not in any of those, which is also ironic because God was very explicitly in a fire last week. But this week, the special effects are all empty, and the story has dried up, and everything Elijah did for the Lord has turned into nothing, has turned into a whole lot of nothing. Elijah's dejection and his despair, those are real. Elijah has taken some really big risks for God. He has this amazingly powerful commitment to doing what God calls for, no matter the cost. Elijah is amazing at resisting idolatry when it looks like a statue or a foreign deity. But God has a more subtle point today to make. Elijah has to detach from a different kind of idol. He has to detach from making an idol of his own prophetic career. He's been working really, really hard for God, but he has forgotten that what he does for God and who God is are two different things. And how often do we do that? How often do we find ourselves imagining that the work that we do on God's behalf, whatever that work is somehow the same as all God is doing, as if we alone can be the ones who represent or enact God's will in the world? Now, last week, that same rhetoric happened to make a very good point. Elijah set himself up kind of dramatically as the only one. There are 450 of you and just one of me, because he's making a point, right? That even if God has just one prophet and Baal has 450 prophets, God is still greater than that other assembly. There's some good rhetoric to be used there. The problem comes this week when Elijah turns around and starts to believe his own hype video, as if fresh baked bread turns up next to his bed every day, as if 7,000 faithful people were not waiting their turn to get involved in this same work that Elijah has been doing. And so God, also to make a point, goes silent. There's a fire, there's a wind, there's an earthquake, there's everything that you would look for. We're even on the mountain where God is. And God is in none of that. God is in none of that. Because God needs Elijah to know, God needs us to know that God is not confined to the places where we expect God to be. And so Elijah has to let go of the certainty he has clung to all this time and settle back into faith, which is a much harder deal. And then, only then, is Elijah then commissioned into some further service, into some mission out there beyond himself, beyond what he can do, because, we have to say this again, God is not limited to Elijah's prophetic career. And so he's sent off to go anoint the next generations of the kings, the next generation of prophet. Elijah's story, such as it is his, is going to continue beyond himself. The New Testament says Elijah's story continues all the way up to and through Jesus of Nazareth. Because no matter how much Elijah seemed to act and think as if he alone could serve God, that's false. That story is false. He is not alone. The idea that we alone can serve God, that we alone are the faithful ones, that is almost always false. God's faithfulness does not ultimately depend on us doing everything. That's why our religion teaches us to rest and to pray and to play and to trust in each other and support each other, because all of that is about trusting that God is more than our efforts, even our efforts to serve God. Now, granted, there is always something unique that is our work. There is always some place where our own skills and histories and desires and spiritual joy all come together in something that God is doing around us and through us. And I think we have to know that our unique way of serving God, that can change through life. Our own lives will change, and we may have to set something aside so that we can pick something else up. We may have to set something aside so that we can hand that work to somebody else. But that somebody else is the point that God needs to drive home to Elijah today. There is always someone else who is also doing good work for God. It may be something that we can help them with through prayer or support or coaching or some other way of being part of their work, but it may be something that we can't do, something that we wouldn't even do, that we can still celebrate and give thanks for what someone else is doing for God. At Covenant, we do more than just read the scriptures together to remember this. We also make a really explicit point of giving away some of the money that comes into this church institution very specifically to other organizations and institutions. And I know you could just give to those other organizations and institutions directly and it would save us a stamp, but that's not the point. The point is that we make an explicit effort. We have an explicit discipline of celebrating how other community organizations are also serving God beyond what we do, beyond what we could do, beyond what we even want to do. Now, mission is not the same thing as giving money away. Say that one again. Mission is not the same thing as giving money away. And like a lot of congregations, Covenant sort of has to relearn this every now and again. We have to remember that everything we do should be part of God's mission to the world, the way we embody the gospel, the way we witness to Jesus' love among ourselves, to those around us. And we have this really long-standing commitment to giving away a pretty sizable portion of this congregation's budget to mission partners, organizations in the community who do work that we don't do directly. Who do work that we don't do directly. Not even because they're better at it than we are, although that's also often the case, but because it's important for us to remember, as a witness to who God is in the world, that God is doing things that we didn't do. God is doing things that we didn't do. And that is a really key part of how we bear witness to God's mission. How we bear witness to a God who is present and active and alive in the world today. It's how we extend God's gifts to us and to this congregation for the sake of the world. It's part of how we pray for the world around us. It's part of how we resist the idolatry of imagining that our own work and our own activity were, in fact, God active in the world. And it reminds us that we are never alone in this work. Thanks be to God, we are never alone in this work. In Jesus' name, amen.
And now, a moment for mission.
Our moment for mission this morning lifts up a mission partner who does God's work beyond the walls of Covenant Presbyterian Church, and that is Hope Ministries, who receives annually a portion of our mission budget. Hope Ministries has been serving people in need in central Iowa since 1915. Hope provides food, clothing, shelter, and life recovery programs for men, women, and children out of 7 ministry centers around Des Moines. And here is a word from one recent resident whose life was changed by God's work through Hope Ministries.
Alcohol is my drug of choice. I struggle with that. Joined the military, came back and struggled with my identity, who I was, my purpose. Felt like a failure, kind of, so deeper into the alcoholism. I've just been witnessing every week since I've been here all the changes with me, my personal life. It's just been, I've never been happier. Like, this is a different kind of happiness. Like, I haven't experienced it since I was a kid, I don't think so. It's been amazing. I definitely want to keep going to church. I made some friends here that are sober, so I'm going to keep those friends. But for the most part, everybody here is really friendly. We support each other, and I don't know, I haven't had this many friends since probably high school, really. I was always down, angry for no reason. And now today, I'm loving life. I have a positive outlook on life. I just look forward to waking up every day and figuring out what God has in store for me today. Because every day it's something new and amazing, and I'm just like, oh, thank you.
Thank you for listening. Learn more about our mission at wdmcovenant.org.